Jalen Ramsey was number one on many people's draft boards. Miles Jack was number one on many people's draft boards, if not for the injury. And Jacksonville has gotten them both.
Mangum rolling, throwing, picked off. Miles Jack.
That guy can be your star like Luke Kuechly is in Carolina. He can upgrade the whole defense. Kuechly was the best linebacker I've ever graded in coverage.
Really?
Until I graded Miles Jack. Miles Jack is a spectacular coverage linebacker. He's not just good or solid. He is elite.
Just because this team had a top five pick doesn't mean they're a losing team. They had a losing year, that's all. I can't wait for this team to get back to the top, and I want to be one of the guys helping do that.
That's it.
I'm just so excited, man.
He's a special athlete. This kid is just, if all the tape I've watched, this is a different cat.
Well, we've been strong. We're just playing by the rules. You can't have a newcomer come in and steal a show.
Now live from Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Tremendous work once again. Tyler Devitt, all you got to do is give him a little raw material to work with, Tony. We haven't had many W's in recent years, right? He puts together spectacular opens to the show whenever the Jags have a thrilling victory. Unfortunately, they've been few and far between, but they won the draft, and we're getting some fresh stuff out of Tyler Devitt over the last few days, and I appreciate the work right there. So there you go. The money quote, we've been quoting Russ Landy so much, you'd think it was a legend, like we had made it up. Best coverage linebacker that he has ever graded in all his years as a draft pick. By the way, the poll closed yesterday. One vote shy of 400. That would be 399 votes. A bunch of you are lazy and don't vote after the show is what happens. We had about 300 votes in the time I posted it yesterday. I posted around 9 a.m. till about noon. We had about 300 votes on our poll, which was which rookie will have the biggest on-field impact for the Jags in 2016. The options were Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, or someone else. Got a few votes for someone else early on. Then somebody asked me, is Dante Fowler Jr. count as a rookie? No, why would he? He is not a rookie. You know, he's never played before. He'll be an on-field rookie, I suppose, but no, he does not count. And, Tony, have you looked at the percentages that the poll
I have
came
not,
in at?
No.
What would you guess the percentage? Who did you vote for, by the way?
My vote would be for Miles Jack.
What do you mean your vote would be? Are you the one who kept us from being at 400
I didn't
people
vote.
On the poll? You son of a!
I didn't vote.
I voted for Miles Jack as well on this.
My guess would be it'd be 55 Ramsey. I'll go 40 Jack and 5 other.
All right, that's pretty close. It's pretty eerily accurate. It's 57 Ramsey, 39 Miles Jack, and 4 other. And had you voted properly, like you said you would have, we might have gotten Miles Jack to that 40% that you were looking for right there. Look, let's hope they both have a major impact. It's not an either-or proposition. They can both be, how about co-defensive rookies of the year of the National Football League? I think we'd all take that.
That'd be nice.
You know what? We're still basking in the warm afterglow of the 2016 NFL draft, and that's fine. We'd love to take more of your feedback today. John Osier is going to join us from Jaguars.com. We've got the Jackhammer crew who's backing us up, our backing band today.
Yeah, I feel
upstairs.
Like if I can hear to my ears, then they can probably hear it out there.
Tyler Devitt.
I'm not sure.
I know Jordan's running the board today, Tyler. Are you around a microphone? Can you? How does the Jackhammer crew sound to you guys back at 1010XL World Headquarters?
Non-existent. You guys sound loud and clear, and
is that
your angelic
right?
Okay, voices good. Are sounding great this morning.
By the way, it's about half as loud as it's been at points this morning.
I know
so
about
still
3 weeks ago with Johnny
enjoy.
O. 3 weeks ago with Johnny yeah. O, the jackhammer sound was really bad, but it's not.
Was it?
It's not that bad now.
Trust me, for about an hour straight, it's been going at a pretty heavy rate up there. But hey, as they call it around here, progress, because the club area will be redefined, reimagined, and reopened to you, Jaguar season ticket holders, this year. And, Tony, did you hear some of the scuttlebutt? They're going to rip the studio apart and rebuild it from the ground up.
I was talking to Joe about this last week, Mr. Fortunato, about what exactly the plan was in here. And I was like, does that mean we're going to be on TV cameras every day doing Jaguars Today? He's like, yes, that will be
we
part
need
of
to
it.
To work so out the financial
we'll be streaming somewhere in the near future.
Apparently. I would imagine on Jaguars.com is where they would probably stream that.
Probably.
Or perhaps on some other streaming service that's out there. I don't know how the whole thing works, man. I assume you'd see it on Jaguars.com, but that's a lot of pressure, brother. All right? Because as it is right now, Cargo shorts ablazing, you know, golf shirt untucked. This is, you're going to have to get used to it, Jacksonville. This is as dressed up as it gets, especially as we head into summer. I'm not going to go full pants on you, Tony. Why? They're right. My legs are under the desk. I just have to remember not to say something stupid into the mic on the break like I typically do.
Yeah, maybe like the first day we come dressed nicely.
Yes.
Kind of like we'll to go, set a tone. Like this is what you're going to get, and then the next day we'll come in our regular
honestly,
attire.
I think what we should do is we should treat it like it's the NBA draft, and we are Joakim Noah. All right, and we want to wear only our finest, so I think we look for our finest, like, 1970s prom gear and see if we can't break that out and do something along those lines. Maybe we'll have theme days and theme weeks, and people can suggest that. It's all in the future. Oh, the technology of it, Tony, the madness. Today, question of the day for you. I'm not trying to take the afterglow away, but let's look at a little bit of reality now that you start to see the shape of the Jaguars roster out there and where all the guys slot in. We had a wonderful free agency period. I think it's a wonderful free agency period. Yeah, Olivier Vernon is not a Jaguar, but they made a run at him and they signed some other impact players or guys we believe will be impact players for this football team. And then they just had what was widely acclaimed as the best draft of any team in the National Football League, your Jacksonville Jaguars. Doesn't mean you're getting a ton of starters out of this draft, right, Tony? I mean, Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack will start right away. And that's it, basically.
Yeah, that's the guys that are going to start. The rest of them have roles.
Well, they have roles, and they yeah. can contribute to this football team and make this football team stronger and strengthen the depth at certain positions, certainly. So we ask you today, brought to you by the Tom Bush family of dealerships, now that the draft is over, which position on the Jaguars are you most concerned about? What specific position? I've already had somebody submit O-line. That's not a position. That's a group. Specific. Center, right guard, left tackle, you name it, and tell us what you're most concerned about with the Jags. It's all relative, right? It doesn't mean you think there are just nothing but terrible players at that spot, but maybe just the weakest among a rising group of talent here in Jacksonville, Florida. John Osier from Jaguars.com, the senior writer, joins us next to get his reaction, and we'll take your calls as well and your texts on the text line, both at the same number, 641-1010, and the text line is driven by Duval Ford. Of course, you can check in on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler, and the Jaguars Today Facebook page is open for business as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, back with John Osier on Jaguars Today momentarily on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. All right, here we go, Jaguars Today on this Tuesday morning post-draft. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, joined by John Osier from Jaguars.com, the senior writer, as we like to refer to him, because that is what his title is. It's accurate.
It's clever.
It's not clever.
I heard the jackhammer stuff on the way.
It'd be like calling me radio host. It's not particularly clever.
I heard a touch of jackhammer on the way in.
You did?
And I heard the conversation a little bit. I just thought it was greatness.
What? Just what do you mean? I don't
yeah, just the rat-a-tat.
That's the drumbeat of greatness.
Yeah, the drumbeat of greatness.
From us or the team or the organization?
No, from this studio.
Oh, from the studio. Yeah. Never. We should have
known. I just thought I was
that.
Used to that.
You've known us long enough to know that
there was
that
always a drumbeat of greatness.
Did you fall out of bed this morning and hit your head on the way into work?
No, but I did fall down.
All right, well, there you go. Maybe a slight graze to the noggin took place. It's quiet now, though. It's pristine.
It is quiet.
I don't need to yell as much, but that's always been my issue, hasn't it?
Yeah, you'll figure out something.
I tell you, I met the lady up in Chicago. She's walking by the Sirius set. She goes, it's not even paying attention. She goes, is that Mike Dempsey? Because I'm so freaking loud. And she's like, she's from Jacksonville. She's up there with her daughters and was there for the draft. It was cool.
It is cool.
You know, that she listens to all the Jaguars programming here on 1010XL.
Did she ask about me?
She did. She asked if she could take an awkward selfie with you.
Right, sure.
If she were to run into you.
And
said, yeah, that's the only kind of selfie John takes.
Yes, it is.
John, they're getting universally praised, the Jaguars are, around the National Football League by all the pundits. I know that none of that means anything, but it's nice to have, I think, you know, everyone say you made the right moves. You certainly hit home runs with Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack, you think, with the value. And then you got some guys that – even though they may not be household names going into the draft, look like they can fill roles for you.
Yeah, you know, Sheldon Day is an interesting guy to me. I mean, I know everybody's been talking about Jack and Ramsey. In a deep defensive tackle draft, you got a guy who is an All-American, who is productive. It doesn't seem absurd that in this draft, a fourth-round defensive tackle with his kind of production, the fit that he seems to be, you know, you sort of, I think people assume that Jack and Ramsey on some level are going to be players who bare minimum contribute, make you better, you know, the whole nine yards, maybe be great, great, great. But if you get one more out of that, a sleeper, if you will, Sheldon Day feels like that kind of guy to me that maybe at the end of next year people are talking about, wow, that was, you know, good pickup. Aaron Beasley in 96, you know, everybody talked about Brackens and Hardy. Beasley wound up being a good, solid player for them for a long time. So maybe he's that guy.
Maybe he is. And for this year, it seems like almost exclusively a three technique.
Sure.
A backup to Malik Jackson. But he's a guy who at Notre Dame, they line him up on the edge sometimes.
Right.
They use him as a defensive end. So
well, he's a quality, productive player. And Dave Caldwell talked about that some of, you know, as they got on during the draft, this staff believes in production measurables. I don't think it applies at Notre Dame necessarily, but the guys later on in the draft who are more unknown, they like guys who are productive in college, and all these guys certainly fill that bill.
Yesterday we did a poll that's closed, and we would have had 400, but Tony didn't vote in it, and only 399 people voted.
Sorry.
But, I didn't vote either, Mike. So.
Who will be the most productive rookie? Who's the most impactful rookie out of this class? And obviously it boils down to the top two picks, you would presume.
Yeah.
And out of those two, who do you think will have the biggest on-field impact?
I guess I'd go with Jack because I think you can see exactly where, even if he doesn't come in and doesn't pick up a shred of the defense, if he just is lost the whole season, you can still run him out there and say, hey, cover that tight end. And he's probably going to be able to do it and take away, you would think, a pretty significant weakness over the last two or three years. So I guess Jack. I mean, he's probably going to be in a situation where he's able to go make more plays near the line of scrimmage. You can see him picking up fumbles, things like that. So maybe him. I mean, I think it's probably a toss-up between the two.
I think so, too. And I said Jack, too. And in part, we're asking today, you know, what position do you think it's of most concern for the Jags coming out of the offseason, basically? And we've already had a couple people say linebacker, and it's been an issue for years. And I say Jack over Ramsey because it feels like if they have problems anywhere along the linebacker core from an injury perspective, as long as it's not Jack, then he's the guy in line because yeah. He is kind of a natural will. I think he can play middle linebacker. I think he's strong enough to play that auto spot for this team too. So he's the guy that is really the de facto backup for all yeah. three of those spots and a starter on this football team somewhere.
Yeah, it makes sense. I mean, it'll be fascinating as time goes on. I don't think you'll see him lining up at a million different spots right off the bat. They were pretty clear all draft weekend with him and Ramsey.
Yeah.
All these guys, they want to find a spot, let him grow, not give him too much. It'll be fascinating to see how they start using Jack as time goes on because he can do so much that you got to think it's going to be a case where they have to sort of check themselves for a while of, boy, it'd be fun to use him here. No, let's just let him stay where he is. Let's let him do what he's supposed to be doing because athletically, he's a great new toy to have.
Somebody asked on the text line, driven by Duval Ford, can we talk about the Telvin Smith players-only meeting that he referenced, talking about, you know, just basically
sure.
say, hey, look, it's winning time, right?
Yeah.
It's time to win. Let's all be on the same page. We're not going to accept just improvement or whatever. 2 years under his belt now, it's nice to see a young guy. This is a young roster,
sure.
right? Not a ton of vets out there, but it's nice to see a guy feel like he can kind of step into a leadership role here. And I don't think it's look, none of these guys have experienced great winning at the National Football League level.
No.
So, you know, he's secure in being able to play at a pretty high level in the National Football League. And I think you have to have that credibility if you're going to make a move like this. What would you think about it?
Well, it's fine. It's time for young guys to do that. If I was going to pick a young guy on defense to do that right now, you know, Roy Miller, Sendarik Marks, Paul Posluszny, those guys' voices are heard among the defensive players a lot and have been for two or three years now. And the respect that those guys have among their teammates is high. But there's also a knowledge that as this team moves forward, it's going to be the team of Telvin Smith and, you know, really in terms of young guys on defense, he's probably that guy. So you saw him. It's always interesting to watch rookies grow a little bit. Very rarely do rookies take that leadership role because it's just hard. No matter how good they are, it's hard for them until that first year is under the belt, until that first draft has passed the next year, it's hard for them to feel like they know what situation they're in enough to be a leader. The last year you saw it a little more out of Talvin. You saw confidence in the locker room, a little more ease, just walking around, joking with his teammates or whatever. But he also sort of knew, I think he said it earlier this year on Jaguars.com Live when he was on with us, he knows it's time for him to be more of a vocal, hey, I'm watching this guy, I'm going to walk the way he walks kind of leader. So if somebody was going to do it, it's him. Is it that big of a deal? Yeah, it's fine. But if somebody's going to do it, it should be him.
Yeah, and it's an offseason where I think everyone's trying to figure out how much pressure there is on Gus Bradley to win now. Obviously, Dave Caldwell, look, this is a draft where they were swinging for the fences. It would appear with what they did with going to get Miles Jack in the second round, so a little bit more aggressive from that standpoint than they've been in the past. So you can feel that the organization feels like it's time to win. They bring in Jalen Ramsey, who's standing up there on draft night saying, yeah, they may have lost last year, but that don't mean they're losers. You know, I'm not going to a team and expecting that kind of outcome, and I think it's nice to hear players in the locker room finally talking about those things, too.
Yeah, you've got more and more guys like that, too. And, I haven't looked at the makeup of the roster, how many guys from 2008, 2011 came from championship programs and all that. But when you talk to these guys, when you talk to Allen Robinson, when you talk to Talvin Smith, when you talk to, I'm sure, Jalen Ramsey, these guys have grown up all their lives being the best. And out of college, the best, and used to winning. And it doesn't really enter their mind that the Jaguars went 5-11 in 2010. I mean, and I don't know the records, but that doesn't equate them. They don't think they should be losing. So there is definitely a feeling of, well, like you kind of see it when Talvin and Rashad and Jalen were together last week and then talking about it. But these guys aren't coming here expecting to be okay. They're coming here expecting and used to winning. So let them believe that and let them act like that and let it happen.
Absolutely. It's not that every program that plays in D1 is winning all the time.
Sure.
But the guys that they're drafting are from big programs, big conferences, used to high level of competition, and used to succeeding against a high level of competition. So why would you have those expectations?
Bortles took UCF and
BCS
game.
BCS bowl game, thank you.
Yeah.
Think of the acronym.
Yeah, those things.
No BCS.
So all these guys are young. The big thing next year, they just need to experience. They need to make it happen. And, that's the next step.
Jags elect not to pick up the option on Luke Joeckel. And I understand the reasoning behind it. And if you say, is Luke Joeckel worth 11.9, I think it would have been next year. No, on the surface, he's not. But I do think it leaves him in a bit of a precarious position because you've got a guy that clearly, despite all your hype talking up over the last several years, and we really like Luke and this and that, you went out to try to replace him this offseason. He's a 24-year-old guy that you haven't committed to beyond his initial contract. And the other guy that you brought in to replace him is coming off a torn ACL. That's my area of concern right now at this football team is that left tackle position. I know they have Josh Wells, and a lot of people think that they have solid depth. But, Joeckel, to me, has not been good enough to man that spot. And for all the great things that they've added, if you can't protect your quarterback, if you can't get that running game going, then you're still going to have some issues in 2016.
So is your concern the left tackle position or not extending Joeckel?
No, my concern's the left tackle position. Okay,
I think
forward,
with the Joeckel thing, it made sense. Again, even with this, they don't dislike him as much as a lot of the fans do. But in terms of extending him, I think they feel like if he's showing in the first eight games that season, if he comes out and wins the job, which is not out of the realm of possibility, and he's improved and he looks like a left tackle and he's got you, there's no reason they can't week 6 to week 10 talk about extending, making something happen. It's not like they can't re-sign him just because they didn't extend him. They can still sign him long-term.
I understand that.
So from their point of view, the thing that happened yesterday, there was just no reason to to guarantee him 11.9 in year five, you can still extend him if you want. In terms of left tackle position, yeah, it's got to get better.
Right. Well, and I'm just saying, it's a concern right now. It may get significantly better if Kelvin Beachum can return to his pre-injury form. I just think it's a big risk to assume that. I think a lot. I think a lot of people in the fan base and who want this team to do well are just assuming Beachum's going to be fine, and maybe he will be. I just think that's a big if for 2016.
Yeah, it's an if because of the injury. I don't know that it's absurd to think that he could play a healthy season next year, though. Week six coming back, that's not out of the realm of possibility. Hear that jackhammer? It's going now.
You're hearing, in here you hear it nice and loud, loud and clear. Yeah. Comes right through, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
doesn't help. It doesn't hurt your concentration or anything.
Nah, not me.
No.
I'm a jackhammer.
What were you saying?
What?
All right. We got to take a break here, bottom of the hour. Let's open up the phone lines today. If you want to get in with John Osier, he's going to stick around for another 20 minutes or so. 641-1010. It's both the phone number and also the text line driven by Duval Ford. If you want to weigh in there with a question or a comment, we'll get to you. Of course, the question of the day is, now that the draft is in the rear view for the Jaguars, which position is the most concerning for you currently on the roster? Share your thoughts on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL. Fat Tony. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
41-1010, both the phone line and the text line, driven by Duval Ford. A lot of them coming in on the text line right now. I guess this is addressed to me. Stop guessing about how another person, body, part may or may not feel. You have access. Just ask Beachum for an interview and ask him about knee and how it feels. His knee may feel fine to him. That doesn't mean that it's... Calvin, can you show me your MRI? I mean, ACLs, some guys come back quicker than others. That's the point. No, I'm not guessing. I don't know. I'm not saying that his knee's going to be bad or good. I'm just saying anybody coming off a torn ACL is going to be a concern that they're going to be back to full health, especially since it happened in the middle of the season last year.
Right. Bocelli tore his, I want to say it was the last game in 99. He made the Pro Bowl in 2000, but he told me later it wasn't until 7 or 8 games in that he felt like him. Of course, you're also talking about another worldly talent at that spot. You know, if you ask 15 different guys who've had ACLs, they'll tell you that they felt right at a different time.
Sure.
It varies completely on the player. Most of them will tell you during the process coming back. I remember Sen telling me a lot of different times last year, hey, I feel good. And then there were times where later on he was like, yeah, when I look back, I didn't feel that good. You know, I mean, it's a tough thing to come back from. By week one, can he be playing at a starting level and be playing okay? Sure.
Possibly, sure.
But
I just think it's right. That's why I think it's an unknown now. That's why it's an area of concern, because it is an unknown. I'm not guessing and telling you he won't be fine until whatever point in time. Nobody knows. Right. Nobody knows. You know, guys have setbacks in their recoveries. Tom Brady's got infected. Think Tom Brady didn't have access to the best care that money can buy, you're crazy. Things happen when guys get injured, and they don't always come back on the same timeline. Question for Johnny O on the text line. The team did not address linebacker in the draft or free agency, with the exception of Miles Jack. What do you think the possibility is of moving either some of the young influx of defensive line draft picks or Jonathan Cyprien to play linebacker?
Not to play what people are thinking of as a true linebacker in this game. I mean, if you're counting Leo as a potential linebacker because you're in a hybrid scheme, then, you know, Nanik Ngakoue count, you know, but not to any of what you're thinking of as the true linebacker spots.
Cyprien versus Sample, who's your guess? Who are you backing? We don't know.
Yeah,
but do you have a gut feeling about which guy would win the job?
I think Cyprien, only because it seems like when they really went back and looked at things last year, when they had him in the box, when they had him in what they think of as a true strong safety, they think he played better than the perception is. Meaning, if you just have him playing that role, when he was just asked to play that strong safety role, that he was okay. So their thinking is Deshaun Gibson comes in, then he can just do that instead of going and trying to be a free safety at times. So my guess is he wins it, but I don't have a very nice car, but I wouldn't bet that on it.
No, I wouldn't bet much on it. I mean, and you look back to that initial draft class right now. We talked about Joakim in his position. He's one of 12 guys that didn't get their fifth-year option picked up. So 20 others did, including Eric Harris, who went ahead of him, or Eric Fisher, excuse me, who went ahead of him when there's, you know, debate has either one of these guys really panned out
for
the respective teams.
I wasn't surprised that Joakim didn't get tagged. I was surprised that Fisher did.
Fisher played better last year, and I wonder what if Joakim doesn't have a catastrophe in week 17.
You know, I think picking up that fifth year, I just don't think they want to pay him 11.9. But if he wins that job, if he plays well, they can still extend him, and you can do it before the end of the season. I don't think there's any acrimony between the two sides. I think if he plays well, they want to pick him up. I don't think it would be a huge issue figuring something out and having something long-term. I just don't think they want to be tied into paying him 11.9 if he doesn't play elite. He hasn't played elite. He's played better than people think. He's had bad games. He's had good games. But I don't think they think he's 11.9 in 2017.
Well, put it this way. If he doesn't have the catastrophe, let's say he misses the last week with an ankle, a twisted ankle, right? I bet he wish he had. Played and he played a solid game, right? Dave Caldwell claims by the Jaguars grading system, through the first 15 games, Joakim only gave up 2 sacks all year. But in their eyes.
Right.
If you got a left tackle that's only given up 2 sacks all year, that would seem like a guy, especially since you the first guy you ever drafted, part of your regime, and it's youth and the importance of that position, that would be a guy that you would, and they tell us not to overreact to one bad performance.
I don't think they'd have picked up that year.
Have they been overly publicly enthusiastic about his play? Maybe more so than he deserves. I think they have, quite frankly. I don't think he's been that good at all.
Well, sure, they support him. I mean, you're going to support him publicly, but they also support him privately. You know, they also say it's usually in the phrase, he hasn't been as bad as people say he has on the outside.
Right, which is maybe damning with faint praise.
Well, there's a belief that you can win with the level of play he's given you. But I've never heard anybody say, hey, John, can you help us push him for the Pro Bowl? I mean, it's not like that. It's look, this is what it is. It's not – there's not a feeling that he's a reason that they're 5-11. That, boy, if we had better play there, we'd be 10-6. It doesn't stand out as a huge, huge area of worry the way people think it does.
Now, we touched on it yesterday briefly. Didn't really get into it, Tony and I. Matt Slauson, released by the Bears, veteran, and, you know – your grading system may not be mine. Pro Football Focus, though, did rate him as a top 10 pass defender on the interior as a guard last year in the National Football League, and kind of a middle of the pack, pass protector and middle of the pack run blocker. Do you think the Jags are satisfied with what they have on the interior? Do you think, because, you know, Caldwell said you reach a certain point in the draft, we didn't see guys who were obvious significant upgrades over what we had.
That's certainly true of the draft, because you're talking about, when you reach the fourth round of the draft, are you realistically going to go find somebody who you want in the lineup over Parnell, Cann, Linder, Beecham, and Joakim, or Joakim and Beecham, or even Shatley, if he's the guy in there? Well, once you reach about the fifth round, Shatley's going into his third year. Say it's Shatley. Well, once you reach the fourth or fifth round, you're probably talking about a guy who's got to come in and grow and get bigger and more experienced to get to that level. So if the best phrase Caldwell used was, if they weren't going to move the needle, they weren't going to take an offensive lineman. So if they didn't get it in the first couple of rounds, they didn't feel like a guy was going to come in and break that starting lineup. So now a veteran's a different thing, because a veteran probably doesn't need the kind of time just to get acclimated, to get bigger, to get stronger, to get NFL body guy. So a veteran would be a different argument.
This quote being attributed to Dave Caldwell, probably I'm assuming on NFL Network or Sirius, on NFL Network and Sirius both this morning, I believe.
Are you serious?
I'm serious. when you have to count on rookies to come in and make a difference, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Well, then they're in trouble.
Trouble.
You better be counting on Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack to come in and make a difference, don't you?
In the first month? I wouldn't think. No.
You wouldn't think? Why? I mean, you don't think
they're rookies.
Who said the first month? Rookie? Oh, you're a rookie for 17 weeks. You're not going to count on these guys to make a big difference on this football team?
I would say second half of the season, you can hope for it, yes.
Ooh, boy, I think a lot sooner than that. I mean, you're
best rookies I ever covered were Fred Taylor and Dwight Freeney. Fred didn't start making a difference until his fourth or fifth week, and Freeney started making a difference in his ninth week.
Fred Taylor didn't get plugged right into the starting lineup. Maybe he would have made a difference
if they
given that opportunity.
He wasn't ready the first couple weeks.
Now, I'll debate that with you, but you don't think Miles Jack can make a difference in his football? You don't think he's an improvement over everything that they've got, the guys he would likely put on the bench? He better be.
First couple weeks of the season, I'd be surprised if he is, to be honest with you.
Really?
Yeah.
That's what I was saying during crosstalk, though. I'm curious to see, you know, with Dave Cowell even making that comment. I didn't even know he had made that comment this morning, but I'm curious to see with an organization that basically said, the general manager said the first 2 years basically didn't count against Gus Bradley because of what they put on the field. If they're going to look on defense right now and just how much change there is on that side of the ball with what they've done in free agency and how many really young guys, rookies, they're going to have in the lineup from day one that they will be counting on to be impact players. Whether or not they can that early or not is a different question, but they're going to be counting on to be impact players. I'm curious to see what, then they'll probably never tell us, but what their expectations inside the building are for how much better they really think this team is going to be defensively in the first 6 weeks of the season. And I think it may be a different answer than what's going to be on the outside of it.
Well, and you face Green Bay, obviously, with Aaron Rodgers. We know the schedule.
Sure.
But San Diego, which is, no matter how good that team is, they've been held to play on the road for this franchise. And, you know, Baltimore doesn't really scare me all that much at this point in time. I'm not saying they can't beat you. You went wire to wire with them last year.
Sure.
But Flacco's coming off a torn ACL. Steve Smith's coming off a torn Achilles.
It's not a game where you feel overwhelmed.
No, not at all. But then you got the Colts who, you know, you beat them badly once and you lost to them. You should have swept them last year, but they get Andrew Luck back playing like he was the first several years of his career. They're certainly not going to be a pushover.
I thought about this yesterday. My sense of the whole thing is because of how many young guys they're going to be relying on, I would not want to play this Jacksonville team the second half of the season. When some of these guys get a little acclimated to what they're going to be asked to do and just what their role is and get comfortable on an NFL field, I wouldn't want to have to play these guys the second half of the season. I am really curious as to what it's going to look like early because it could be a bit of a mess.
I'm not saying these two guys aren't going to be long-term huge impact guys. I don't doubt that. I don't know that the first couple of weeks of the season, if they'll be starters, if they'll be huge impact guys yet, because it usually just takes longer than that.
We'll find out. A lot of people expecting a big jump from this football team in 2016. I'm just saying. I mean, it's going to be interesting. Look, and right now everything's mostly positive because people feel like they killed the draft. They did very well in free agency.
I think they'll jump. I don't know if an immediate jump will be because of the draft class.
Well, whether it's a draft class, free agency, whatever, this team needs to take a major step in the right direction in the win column, not just being more competitive. They were more competitive last year, and it would be great if they're more competitive on a week-in, week-out basis. But I felt like they were. I mean, they were in most games.
Right.
It's not like they're, you know, most weeks are getting blown out, the exception of the New England game and a couple of games towards the end that they kind of let get away. But throughout the heart of the season, they were right there. You got to turn those into W's this time
around.
You
got to turn those from 4-point losses to 4-point wins.
As we said, a couple of it's funny how I think some people are just starting to wake up to the off season. We've had questions this morning. When will they sign a punter? They signed one almost immediately in free agency. When will they add someone to T.J. Yeldon in the backfield?
Got to do that.
They
gotta
signed Chris Ivory. You know, so they've done a little work on some of those positions as well.
At some point, you have to address three technique tackle on this team.
Yes, you do. You don't really have very many of them.
If you don't, I don't know what they're doing.
It's not a good position group for the Jacksonville Jaguars right now. All right, what do you have coming up in the next few days?
Still some draft recap. We're looking at the roster, breaking down where they stand after the draft. It's kind of that time to hit the reset button and figure out exactly where offensively and defensively the team is. So some reset and look ahead, and then we have some rookie stuff on Friday. So it'll be good.
All right, Johnny O, we will hopefully catch up with you if the Jackhammers allow sometime later in the week.
You just keep hammering away.
That's what we do, baby. The Miles Jackhammer. That's what we do here on Jaguars Today. There he goes, John Osier, at John Osier on Twitter. Of course, you can read him on the digital pages of Jaguars.com. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony will be back with This State in Football and the Honda Drive around the NFL. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM. And now, This State in Football History.
All right, time for This Date in Football History, and it is, of course, May the 3rd back in 1976, one of the Pro Football Hall of Fame's inaugural class. Ernie Nevers passed away on this date at the age of 72 years old. Ernie Nevers went to Stanford, was a professional fullback, a five-time Pro Bowler, and a member of the 1963 inaugural class of Hall of Fame inductees in Canton, Ohio. Famous birthdays for this date, just got one. Guy who arguably should have been named Super Bowl MVP instead of Peyton Manning when Prince played at halftime down in Miami, as Joseph Addai caught a ton of passes that day. Joseph Addai and Dominique Rhodes, either one of them, I thought would have been a better MVP candidate than Peyton Manning that day. But you knew if Peyton Manning won a first Super Bowl, he was going to get MVP, despite not playing particularly well in the Colts' victory over the Chicago Bears. Joseph Addai is 33 years old today. And that's it. That's this date in football history.
Now, the Honda Drive around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, Moritz Boehringer, the first foreign-born player to be selected straight out of Europe and be drafted into the NFL, is also the first member of the 2016 NFL draft class to sign his rookie deal. Boehringer, the wide receiver out of Germany, who was one of the stories of the weekend at the NFL draft, has already signed his contract after being drafted in the sixth round by the Minnesota Vikings on Saturday. Reports are out that the Jacksonville Jaguars have declined the fifth-year option on left tackle Luke Jokel. Jokel not the only 2013 first-round pick, about which teams are making a decision on the fifth-year option, deadline being today. The Steelers reportedly declining the option on linebacker Jarvis Jones. The Bills declining it on E.J. Manuel. The Patriots have declined the option on guard Jonathan Cooper, whom they acquired in a trade from Arizona. The Packers have declined it on defensive end Dayton Jones. The Broncos on defensive tackle Sylvester Williams. The Ravens on former Gator safety Matt Elam. The Raiders on cornerback DJ Hayden. The Browns on linebacker Barkevious Mingo. The Vikings on wide receiver Cordero Patterson. And the Titans on guard Chance Warmack. The Los Angeles Rams have exercised the fifth-year options on both of their 2013 first-round picks, Tavon Austin and linebacker Alec Ogletree.
Well, I thought Chance Warmack would be a really good player. I thought Matt Elam would be a really good player as well. Chance Warmack, I was just talking to a guy who covers the Titans just over the weekend, and he said, boy, he's been absolutely a bust at this point in time, and they're definitely looking to upgrade him. He's got this year, like Jokel does, to reclaim his spot. Jokel's got to win his spot. I think Chance Warmack will start for the Titans. How well he plays is another story. Tony, I want to take this opportunity. Jordan DeArmond is a new member of the 1010XL family, and she's running the board today. Jordan, are you nearby the microphone? We just wanted to say hello.
I am. I'm here. Hopefully, you know, nothing's blowing up on your end, because we're okay back here. We're okay.
Well, are you, is the question. Because we wanted to give you, some unsolicited advice now that you're a member of the 1010XL family. Would that be okay with
bring
you?
Bring it on. Bring it on. I need it.
We would say
yes,
probably
you do.
The most important thing to do as you're navigating your way around the 1010XL World Headquarters, 9090 Hogan Road, is when you leave a certain computer, log out of your social media platforms would probably be a good thing to do.
I'm bad about that. Really
you
bad,
are
about,
bad
it.
About that. Unless you were the one who pooped up the ladies' room.
No, that was not me. I found that.
Have you read your latest tweet? Jordan.
Oh, no. Did
8 minutes
Steve
ago,
Duty get a hold of my account?
Let me retweet it just so folks can get a good look at it. Tony, what do we have from Jordan on Twitter right now?
Just 8 minutes ago now, Jordan tweeted out, "I can't take it anymore. I admit it. 'Twas I who pooped up the ladies' room at 1010XL. I also forgot to log out of my Twitter. XOXO, not beef."
So it was not beef.
How did I know?
We know it was not beef who did it, because whoever signed it signed not beef. So, Jordan, welcome to the family.
He'll get whoever stays logged in.
I want to say it was not me. I was not the culprit.
All right. I don't know. Tony and I don't hang out over there nearly as much as the rest of you, so that's an issue for you all to work out amongst yourselves. We just felt like it would be fair to warn you that, Beef has been known to not care if he puts out something under someone else's name.
No.
Well, I appreciate it.
So be careful with that. Hacker still hasn't learned his lesson. All these years later, Hacker occasionally sends out some questionable tweets that he's not really in love with. But there you go. Jordan D'Armond may or may not have pooped up the ladies. So that's a great way to welcome her to the broadcast, Tony, I thought. So happy to have her part of the team. There you have it. Beef right now is probably rolling. All right, Tony, to the text line we go, driven by Duval Ford. Do you think the Jags think that Cedric Marks may be more hurt than they're saying with the addition of Malik Jackson and Day and Sheldon Day in the draft?
I don't know about more hurt. I think they're obviously don't necessarily feel like the long term is assured with Cedric Marks.
How can they guess about his injury status? Why don't they just ask him how his knee feels?
Look, I think when you ask him, they say that Cedric is fine, right? That he's going to be fine. He's going to be back to full strength by the time they need him on the football field. And I don't doubt that he will be. He is coming off of two major injuries, though. It makes sense for the Jags to address the position if they have the opportunity to. And look, I mentioned this yesterday. Cedric Marks is under contract, I think, for two more years.
I think you're right.
I think it's two more years.
Is it two or wait? He signed the deal. He had the big season.
It was either. I think Miller maybe two more. Cedric maybe three.
I have to look. I'll look right now.
But I think that may be the deal.
You talk
with those guys. But Ryan Davis, Avery Jones are guys that they only have under control for one more year here in Jacksonville. They got Cedric coming off two big injuries last year. I don't think it necessarily means that they don't think Cedric Marks can be Cedric Marks. I think they're looking at opportunities that they had in the draft and taking advantage of those opportunities more so than anything else.
Yeah, and I think you're a bit of a hedge.
Can't
right?
be sure.
You can't be sure. And, you know, which is, goes back to the earlier text that we got. Why don't you just ask him? Well, they say Cedric Marks is going to be cleared, Tony, by OTAs for the full off season of activity. That's great. But the fact is, will he hold up? We don't know. He's had two season ending injuries in consecutive years now. Let's see. Cedric Marks will be a free agent in 2018. So he's got the next two seasons on his deal. And really, at the level of play that he's capable of, quite a bargain.
Oh, no doubt.
Is what he's at right now, right? I mean, he's playing for $3.45 million per season each for the next two, plus $1 million offseason roster bonus that he's already collected this year. So under $5 million for what Cedric Marks can bring to the football team, not only on the field, but in the locker room as well. And now maybe a more effective Cedric Marks. You look back, Tony, to when he had an 8.5 sack season. He played way more snaps than they would have been comfortable having him play in ideal circumstances. Well, ideal circumstances are when you have Malik Jackson as part of your rotation now. So you've got Cedric, you add Sheldon Day, you've got Roy Miller there. You know, he's not going to play, you wouldn't think, in pass rush situation. So you're going to rotate these guys in, hopefully keep them a little bit fresher. And with all these potential Leos, we'll call them, you know, running around from the draft, you're going to have to get some of these guys in there. You're going to have to get Scooter reps on third down. You're obviously going to want Dante Fowler Jr. on the field on third down. You've got Odrick, you've got Alawalu, you've got all these options. How many different combinations, honestly, if you charted it, if they played 65 defensive snaps in a game, how many times would you see a different front four combination? I don't know what the number's going to be, but you're right. It's going to be a bunch.
No, it's going to be a bunch. And when you look at, you know, trying to figure out what they're going to do in different packages and who's going to be on the field when, it's, you know, they bring in Yannick Ngakoue. And look, that looks like a guy who they're bringing in to be a pass rusher, right? They haven't talked a whole lot about his ability to stop the run. They said that they think they can develop that side of his game a little bit. He's a high-effort player, so they feel comfortable having him on the field, I think, on first and second down. But my guess would be Dante Fowler Jr. is going to be that guy in the role because they've never really liked Ryan Davis in that kind of role. He's been a situational pass rush guy. So now who are their situational pass rush guys? Because they got like eight of them,
right?
It feels like right now. And do they have to make a decision with one of these guys to let them go because there's just not room on the roster to keep all the names potentially that they could have? That it feels like they got a bunch of guys that have the same kind of role.
How many
right
D linemen make the team?
I don't know.
Let's say 10. 10 seem like a fair number?
Seems fair.
Right? I mean, in many, it's around that number, right? Let's go through some of the obvious ones. Malik Jackson's on the football team.
Yes.
Done. Roy Miller's on the football team.
Yes.
Dante Fowler Jr. is on the football team.
Yes.
I feel as confident about those three as anyone on the football team. Sindarik Marks on the football team? Any question to you?
No.
No question to me that Sindarik Marks is on this football team.
Odrick is on.
Odrick on the football team. What about Tyson Alualu?
Could be a question.
They love Tyson.
But because he can play both the three tech and that left defensive end spot. And,
versatility.
And he's good against the run, I feel like he's probably on the team.
All right, so let's say those six are on the team. They brought back Avery Jones, right? Signed his one-year deal this offseason. I'm going to guess that Avery Jones is on this football team. That's seven, right? Ryan Davis has had success as a situational pass rusher.
Same situation as Jones. They brought him back on a one-year tender.
Right. All right, that's eight. Okay, now Sheldon Day, is he going to make the football team?
Well, we haven't even included Ngakoue.
I know. I'm just going. I'm just looking at various stages of a depth chart that I have in front of me. Sheldon Day is going to make the football team. Ngakoue is going to make the football team.
So
right?
That would be
that's ten.
That would be Bennett's out. That would mean Chris Smith is out. It would mean basically you're listing Tyrone Holmes as an auto.
Right, and that's the thing.
Yeah.
Because you're not super deep in the linebacking core, does it really matter what you list the guy at?
No.
Right? So I think Tyrone Holmes is going to make this. I heard the guys yesterday on the Midday Chalk discussing this, and I'm not trying to put words in their mouth, but I got the impression that they didn't think there was a great chance that Holmes was going to make the team or that it was, you know, at least as likely that he wouldn't. I think it's very likely. I don't think you draft a guy on this team, in this circumstance, that had 18 sacks last year, and unless he falls completely flat on his face, you don't find a way to have this guy on your football team. I just think...
I think so, too.
And for as many people, Tony, when they made that pick, pundits were all, oh my gosh, steal. Sixth round, I had him in the fourth round, right? So there are other teams out there that, look, we know how it goes. You can't address every single need. Look at the fourth round, for instance, in the NFL draft. The Ravens had five picks, okay? The Bears, I think, had three. The Rams had a couple of picks. The Browns had a couple of picks. There were maybe two other teams that had multiple picks. So that's six teams right there that ate up half of the fourth round of the NFL draft,
right?
Not counting a few compensatory picks at the end. So a boatload of teams didn't have any picks in the fourth round, right? And they're sitting there. They've got their own list of needs. Maybe they like this guy. They can't take a chance on him because they've got to fill some other need in round five, or they've used that to trade up because there was a lot of trading going on. So guys fall for different reasons, but I think he's got a great chance. Guys like Jordan Tripp, as you mentioned, Chris Smith, Michael Bennett, Quinterra Smith, Richard Ash, and seventh-round pick Jonathan Woodard, it's tougher. You get down to the seventh round, and he wasn't nearly as productive as Holmes was.
And I think you've listed some pretty good players.
Sure.
I don't know that any of them will be great in the National Football League, but I think you've listed some guys that can be pretty good and fill solid roles across an NFL roster. I tweeted out over the weekend, I think teams are going to be watching the Jaguars' cuts along that defensive front very closely when we get into training camp and are getting ready for the season, because I think they're going to have to make a tough decision on, you know, maybe three or four guys that they're going to have to let go that are NFL players.
Listen, Tripp's an outside linebacker. I'm getting carried away here. But, you know, look, there's probably going to be one or two guys that get snatched up immediately, I would think, if they let go. If they don't have practice squad eligibility, that is, and the Jags aren't. And even in those circumstances, you know, if you offer a spot on an active roster, more than likely that player is going to take that opportunity.
And Tyrone Holmes feels a little bit kind of like Nick Marshall last year, where I don't know that you can sneak him to the practice squad. It feels like there's something, there's enough there that a team that would have room for him on a roster, there's going to be a handful of teams that would if you decided you wanted to try to get him to the practice squad, and he probably wouldn't wind up there when everything is said and done. Now, this is obviously way early in the process to have that kind of decision about this guy. We haven't even seen him on the field doing anything for the Jags yet, but he feels like that type of guy, just like Nick Marshall did last year. You weren't going to be able to sneak him off the roster.
You know, you look at the wide receiver position, too. You think you're pretty set. You know who your first four are going to be, right? Brian Walter, you got Neil Sterling from last year. Remember how high they were on Aurelius Ben in the offseason and really looked good? Tony Washington had a nice offseason. All those type guys may be competing for one spot on this football team. And, again, because you know who your frontline players are, and provided you don't have any injury issues. That's the thing. you never know how that is impacted. You get a couple of month-long injuries in training camp where guys are not going to be ready for the first several weeks of the season, then you've got to start getting into funny roster math a little bit
and
there.
That feels like it'll be a special teams decision. Which, that fifth wide receiver is going to be a guy that helps
you there. Right, and which area of special teams, I think.
Well, you don't need a returner because you got Rashad Green.
You don't, but do you like the idea that you've got a guy who in, you know, Brian Walters can do that if called upon, or are you looking for more of a core four guy who does coverage and protection on punts and kickoffs both? Maybe the latter, but they're different kind of options when you're talking about special teams.
Sure, and that's also where it gets hard to let go of a guy like Ryan Davis because he does help on special teams a lot.
Right, right, exactly. And, by you know, talking about the corners on this team, you know what? We'll do that when we come back a little bit. Go through a couple more of these positions and where the battles may be looming this offseason. Rookies coming in Thursday night for their first weekend's orientation and a – we'll call it a mini camp. I don't think it's being called strictly a mini camp. A positional drills,
like a rookie symposium.
Welcome to orientation. Welcome to the squad kind of situation going on. So those guys coming up, we're going to catch up hopefully with a couple of the Jags veterans over the next few days as well. By the way, they're all coming out of the woodwork now. Ryan O'Halloran, who we have in every week, will join us tomorrow on the program. Donovan Darius texted me yesterday, when can I come in? When can I come in? When can I come in? Donovan, you can come in anytime you like. How about Thursday? So Donovan's coming in Thursday. David Garrard's coming in Friday for the show. So we're full up for the rest of the week here on Jaguars Today. He's Fat Tony. I'm Mike Dempsey. 641-1010 if you want to get in on the phone lines or the text line talking Jaguar football. The question of the day is this. Now that the draft is over, which position on the Jags concerns you the most, the way the roster is currently constituted? Share your thoughts on Twitter and on Facebook as well, or the text line right here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right, Tony, we got the special teams of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Not the coverage guys, right? Because we're not going to need coverage guys because Nortman's going to pin him down inside the one on all his punts, right? And Myers is going to get touchbacks, I think, on every kickoff. And we'll be all set as far as that goes. And, of course, Carson Tinker's going to make every snap absolutely perfect. And we're going to have the best special teams in the National Football League. What's up, all you boys? First of all, Brad Nortman, welcome to town. We haven't had a chance to talk to you yet. It's funny. Punters go under the radar a little bit. We've been asking people today, what position do the Jags need to address now that the draft is coming gone? They said, well, we finally need to go out and get a punter. Wow. So you slipped under the radar, apparently, with a couple of people. How you doing, man? Welcome to Jacksonville. You know, it's a good thing. The last punter did not come in under the radar, and it didn't work out so well. So it's okay to be under the radar when you're a punter. You don't want to be noticed that much, do you?
I prefer to be under the radar. It's certainly the way I'm looking to do it. And maybe if there's, you know, the one punt a game where, as you said, goes to the 1 yard line or something, I'll take a little camera time, but then quickly go off.
Right. We'll take that just to, you know, tip a cap and on your way you go. For you, Jacksonville came right after you, it looks like, in free agency. What made you think this was a good landing spot?
There are a lot of different reasons. You know, it was a great spot. I could tell. As a Panther, we played the Jaguars last year, first game of the season. The atmosphere was fun here. You know, it was a great opponent in the Jaguars of the 2015 team. So I just looked at the team as being young, talented, just a good place to cultivate a career. And like you said, that they were very active in free agency with me and just in general with how good their special teams were and the sort of brand they've created here. I just wanted to be a part of it. So they haven't let me down yet so far in the few weeks being here.
How good's your golf game? Coming here.
It's all right.
Is it all right? It's going to be better because you picked a sunny spot. And we know you specialists all have a little game because you have time to hone those skills out there a little bit.
I can swing a club or two. I mean, there's room for improvement, and I certainly intend to keep on improving out here. But certainly a golf culture, so I like that.
Carson, have you played with both of these guys on the course? Are you a golfer yourself?
I'll enjoy playing. I'm not any good. But Jason can play.
Oh, kickers and QBs. Kickers may actually beat the QBs on average, right?
Yeah. I think the best golfer we have right now on the team is B-Walt, though.
Is that right?
He'll play from the tips and shoot one or two over.
I don't want to play with him, man. I don't want to play with any of you guys, I don't think. Jason, hey, you know, year two now with the Jacksonville Jaguars. How's it different? Obviously, you always, I guess, probably come in, especially at your position, feeling like you got to compete for your spot every single year. But you are the incumbent this time around. Is it a little bit different for you this all season so far?
It's a little different. I know what's going on. You know, last year, the first few weeks, I had no idea what was going on. You know, everything's changing week to week. But, yeah, I mean, always you come in to compete with yourself or if there's somebody here, so that doesn't change. But, you know, it's definitely nice knowing what's going on week to week now.
Cannon leg, we saw that last year. You missed a few extra points, you know, and probably got so much more abuse than those extra points merited. But that's kind of the nature of the position,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, being a specialist, you got to be perfect every time. So, you know, that's what we strive for. Got a great group this year, you know, Carson and Brad, so we're going to have fun.
How important is the chemistry between you guys? Because I'm convinced that Joe Zelenka, who the former long snapper here a few years back, hung out because he was in the good graces of Josh Scobie for a long time. How important is it to have chemistry with your snapper, your holder, the whole thing?
Definitely. I mean, we hang out a lot, you know, on and off the field, so that's definitely important. And then, you know, I rely on these two so much just for, you know, every kick because they snap the ball, put it down, and we have – you know, 1.2 seconds to get that off.
Sure.
So, you know, we're already working, you know, even when we're not kicking, we're working on operation and everything. So it's definitely very important.
Jason, he got me to help him move last week. So this is pretty big.
You guys must be close, man. There was nothing you could have come up with that could have got you out of that?
That's about the worst thing that you can do is move.
But, now, Carson, how did you guys let the Buckeyes steal the show from the Alabama Crimson Tide this year at the draft? The Tide did fine. It seemed to be the Buckeyes year. Are we going to see a first round dominated by Nick Saban's crew next year again?
You know, I don't know a whole lot about the draft and the Bama guys, but I know who won, you know, won it all this year. So that's really all I can say.
There you go. There you go. Does he let you know about it a lot?
You can tell he's from Alabama.
Hey, I'd be proud of it too.
My rookie year and my second year, I was very vocal about it, but I've toned it down just a little bit.
There you go. You know, look, you guys, we want to be talking about the Jaguars winning championships here pretty soon, and people are excited about the free agents that we brought in here. I mean, Malik Jackson, Tashaun Gibson, Chris Ivory, guys like that proven in the league. And then big-time talents, at least what we expect to be big-time talents, and guys like Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Yannick Ngakoue, and the rest of them. How exciting is that? I mean, do you guys watch the draft? Are you following? You say you're not into it, but were you following along?
I kept up with the Jags. I keep like the Jaguars saved on my Twitter search, and I'm just always, you know, searching them. I feel like I get a lot of my news off Twitter. I don't know what that says about me.
It says you're a young guy, man, is what it says.
It was really exciting to keep up with. And, I mean, Jalen Ramsey, I was fired up when we got that. But when we got Miles Jack,
like, unbelievable,
I couldn't believe it, you know. Yeah, I'm still just in awe, and I think that the coolest thing is, you know, you hear those guys in the interviews and stuff, and it seemed like they wanted to come to Jacksonville. You know, just, I mean, I've been with Gus now for 3 years, and he's awesome, and it just, you know, these young guys coming in and wanting to play for a coach like that, I think it speaks a lot. And just seeing those guys come in, you know, hugging Dave and hugging Gus, I mean, like, let's go. I'm ready for football season.
It's time to go, right? It seems like a great organization to play for. We love working with the Jaguars. I mean, Shad Khan tries to give you everything he can in the way of amenities. I mean, that locker room's like a nightclub in there, right? I mean, you get the world's largest scoreboards. There are things that are attractive to free agents, but obviously, Brad, winning is attractive as well. You come from a winning spot. You think this team can get to where your former team was in short order?
I really do, honestly. I see a lot of similarities to when I walked into Carolina 4 years ago to the team that I come into now and here in Jacksonville. It just seems like there's a lot of young talent in place. And coaching staff seems very positive. They put a lot of emphasis on quality of character. I think that really goes a long way. I think that's one of the things that is really undervalued in an NFL locker room and an organization in general. You know, there are just some franchises out there that they don't attract the right character of person, or right, you know, of personnel, and it certainly seems like here it's just the opposite, where they really take a lot of inventory and the kind of people they bring in, work ethic, accountability, all those kind of things that are a prerequisite in order to go in there and win a championship. So I like it. So far, so good, and I feel the winning culture around here.
What are you grinning at there over there, Jason?
Did
he drive great prerequisite? he's like check.
Everyone know that he's smart.
I'm trying to educate these young kids.
It's just the way he is, man. He's just naturally gifted that way. But look, we're all excited for you guys this year, and we know you guys don't get a lot of pub, but sometimes it's a good thing, right? Because oftentimes you only get you kick the game-winning field goal. Probably that pub's not too bad to get.
Those
right?
Are good pubs.
We'll take some of those and some of those coffin corner kicks. But Carson, for you, you know another game unremarked upon is a good week for you, right?
Always. We were actually just in here trying to get tickets for TPC. and we got talked into going on the radio. We weren't coming in here looking for
This is going to help you with Tad Dickman, I think, because Tad Dickman's the guy to talk to if you need tickets for anything, right? Yeah. Is he hooking you up?
Except for Alabama Shakes.
Well, yeah. All right, he's not a miracle worker, apparently. All right, we'll keep the pressure on him, and we appreciate you guys stopping by. Excited to see, you know, the energy building for this football team, and, you know, it's too bad you don't have that Dover Malik Jackson that you can rub the Lombardi in his face, Brad, but, you know, you got there, and hopefully the two of you can impart a few tips on along the way for the rest of the guys.
It'll be better to win it with him as a teammate.
Absolutely, bro. All you guys have a tremendous offseason. Have fun on the golf course and keep each other in line, and we'll see you out there doing big things for the Jags in 2016.
Thanks for having us.
All right, guys, thanks for stopping by. They got roped into that, Tony. I'm sure they were very eager to come in and chat with me. I appreciate them doing that right there. All right, speaking of what, rookies coming in, these guys were all rookies fairly recently, and Gus Bradley talked about what we're looking forward to now with the rookies coming in for this basically an orientation kind of weekend. Here he is.
You know, I think it's just an overall, like Dave mentioned earlier, that, you know, he's always kind of had the philosophy of, let's see where these guys are at, more of an orientation. And as coaches, we're very competitive. Players are competitive, and you want to bring in numbers and put them in competitive situations. And your feeling is, well, if we can maybe get one or two guys that we brought in as tryout guys and it helps the rosters, let's always look to do that. But I think it was just the opportunity to look at and not battle it. When we're working guys out and we see their fitness level, to know that, you know what, the smart thing is to make an adjustment based on how we go about it. So it'll be more of an orientation. We'll still work the players on the field, but it'll be more position specific.
So no 7-on-7, no 11-on-11?
Yeah, not right now, as we put it together. There's always things that could change based on the numbers that we have, but right now it's more position specific.
Yeah, somebody hooked the boys up with some tickets, by the way, to TPC.
Yeah, no doubt. Look, I think it's kind of interesting, that comment from Gus Bradley, which feels like it is a reaction to what happened with Dante Fowler Jr., and why not change some of the things you're going to do if you're gonna, you lose your number three overall pick to an ACL the first day of a rookie minicamp. What really can you accomplish during that time by getting them on field? And I know in Miami, they're doing the same kind of thing this year where they're not doing a whole lot on field. It's more of a rookie orientation a couple days down there. I'm curious to see how many NFL teams may be doing that same kind of thing, because it is a reactionary business where every team in the league saw what happened to the Jags with Dante Fowler Jr. going down that first day of a rookie minicamp. And I'm curious to see how many teams are saying, you know what, maybe we are pushing a little too far by putting these guys on the field. There's no need to risk these assets, basically, that we have that early on.
Didn't seem like John Harbaugh had that issue. He said to Ronnie Stanley, are you in shape? You ready to come in and compete, like, tomorrow?
Right.
Here we go. Hit the ground running. So, hey, different strokes for different folks. Let's keep these guys healthy. But, you can't treat them like babies either,
no.
Tony. I mean, look, at some point, if it had happened in a rookie minicamp or it had happened in OTAs or training camp, Dante Fowler Jr. is going to be running around, and it could have happened at any one of those moments. So since it happened, choose to be happy that it happened as early as it did, so he's going to be 100% the rest of this offseason
and
ready to go.
Yeah, I don't think it being a rookie minicamp had anything to do with Dante Fowler Jr.
I don't either.
Hurt. I think the Jaguars are looking at it and saying, we don't need to expose him to that. When the veterans come in, we'll have everybody on the field together.
Right.
Let's just get them acclimated to being a Jacksonville Jaguar.
And there is some, with some guys, you know, you're going through the process of interviews and all these different things up, and it's a crazy few weeks. You can kind of get off your training for a few weeks around draft time. So you got to be careful of that kind of stuff as well. But for right now, everything pointing in a good direction. Thanks to the specialist crew of the Jacksonville Jaguars for stopping by. Jason Myers, Brad Nortman, Carson Tinker here with you on Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM. That's kind of like the world we live in, right? At this time of year now, you're seeing the guys pop back in the building, and they just come strolling by the big bay window, and you never know who we're going to grab. All right, Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, coming back with the question of the day brought to you by the Tom Bush Family of Dealerships, asking you now, post-draft, which position are you most concerned with on this Jaguars roster? We'll discuss it on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
All right. Down the stretch we come. what it must be like to be a guy like Jason Myers, Tony. Okay, we have him in. He's a nice kid, you know. what's he going to do? You know, he's he got signed. He made the kicks he made. He didn't make the kicks he didn't make. He shows up. Here's a guy named Dempsey who's just going to throw up, hey, you missed some extra points in his face, and he's fine. It rolls off his back. No big deal. And as immediately on the text line, or it might have been on Twitter, you better make some damn kicks this year. He's going to be off this team. Just like the mere mention of his name.
Oh, yeah.
Myers better be practicing. He has a lot of room for improvement. And on it goes on Twitter. It's just the way it goes. It's the nature of the position.
It was fun to have all three of those guys in here kind of playing off each other a little bit.
Were you at Nortman's initial introductory press conference that day? I'm trying to think of the timing. If that was, I think that's when we were trying to get some interviews with Malik and Chris Ivory and those guys, and Nortman got up there. He's a funny dude. He's an interesting guy. But, you know, there always is. I'm telling you, Zelenka was under Scobie's protective umbrella for a long, long time. And word has it that Mrs. Weaver, he may have been a favorite of Dolores back in the day, too. And you know what? That's a smart move if you're Joe Zelenka.
Sure.
Joe Zelenka was probably the most well-known long snapper in the NFL at that point in time, and had quite a little popularity going here in Jacksonville. He had his own fan club, might still, for all I know. Good for Joe. I wish I had his money. The first remote I ever did, Tony, or one of the first remotes I ever did here in Jacksonville as an afternoon host, was at a Winn-Dixie, and I had Joe Zelenka out there. I don't even know what it was for. We're practically sitting in the milk case. I mean, it was the most ridiculous thing. Here we are at Everbank now. And I had Zelenka snapping footballs to me down the dairy aisle.
Nice.
It was fantastic. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. All right, today's question of the day that we asked you as Jaguar fans, you're all giddy, we understand, but now that the draft is over, which position on the Jaguars roster are you most concerned about? What did Twitter say?
Here's what we got from Duval Doom. This one seems pretty easy. Kicker, or maybe left tackle, but seriously, kicker. From Irish Jaguar, center or linebacker depth. From Ryan, tight end, can Julius shake off the underwhelming first year? What's Mercedes' value at this point in his career? From Eric, until we get competition, the offensive line not addressed in the draft and just no answers right now. From Kurt, left tackle. From Jason, left side of the O-line, only because I don't think Wells, Shatley get a fair shake at the starting lineup. From Jarrell, center, I want Linder and Can to be the guards and plug in a veteran at that spot. From Seth, still cornerback. Jalen projects as a free safety, still lots of youth, short contracts at that spot. From Mary, protection for a quarterback is paramount, left tackle. From Black Dog, it concerns me that we have been bothered by left tackle offensive line for three seasons now. From Frank, defensive end, lots of youth at a position that's hard to transition to in the NFL. From Isaiah, the kicker and edge rush. And from Cristiano, middle linebacker, especially if Puz is on the field on third down.
All right, got these on Facebook on the Jaguars Today page from Daniel. Said, my concern still lies with the strong safety position. Is Cyprian going to finally turn into the player he could be? Is Sample going to beat him out and stay healthy? Joshua said, mainly the left tackle spot. We're opting out of Jokel's fifth year, and Beecham still has to step in and show he can hold up post-injury as well. The defense should be improved, but one missed block and nasty hit on Bortles, and the party is over. Hashtag Jaguars Today. Don Enfuego said, I'm most concerned with quarterback. I think Blake will continue to be extremely productive. He is our franchise, but I cringe every time he throws the ball in key situations, so it's more of traumatic stress than concern. LOL, hashtag Jaguars Today. He's not the only one who mentioned, you know, especially the critical pick sixes from Blake Bortles. Adrian Jackson, there's no gaping hole anymore, so it's about positions where there's still uncertainty or where depth is lacking, and that's going to focus on the O-line, left tackle and center in particular, and maybe kicker. When we reach a point where kicker is one of the most worrying positions, surely we're coming out of the rebuild. Damon said, none really, but if I can just say one, I'd say O-line. Just need one more for depth only. People say we need more O-line help, but I don't see it. We have Parnell, Beecham, Can, Linder, and Bernadeau. There's your starting five. What's the problem? Hashtag steal the show. There's a lot of stealing the show going on. Speaking of the steal the show lady, Andrew Thompson used her picture and then said, what position do I worry about? The position I'll be laying in at my beach house. So hope you followed along with that and know what we're talking about. The Otto, need to get a solid starter there. Well, I think you've got your starting. Your Otto's going to be Miles Jack, I don't know if he's going to be the Otto. He's going to be something. They're going to use him. But if he's your Otto, it's either Jack or Scooter is your Otto. They're not going to add a starting Otto to this football team that's not on the roster right now.
And I feel like if I told you your autos are Miles Jack and Dan Scooter, you're concerned about that position?
I'm not.
Why?
I'm not concerned. Personally, I'm not concerned with any position Miles Jack plays, at least as long as he's healthy. Right. In terms of the skill to play position.
There are still questions about, what exactly the linebacker depth chart may look like, especially because they bring in Miles Jack. And as I mentioned, when Osier was in here, it feels like he's kind of all three and could back up or start at all three of those linebacker spots. So what is he really? That's what they have to determine inside this building, is exactly how they're going to use him. But it still leaves, questions about what are the backups at linebacker, whether it be Thurston Armbrister or Pullard or some of these other guys that they may have on that depth chart. So I think that's at least a question. I feel good about the corner depth chart, at least at the top four, but you are still talking about a position where they only have a Mukumara for one more year. And in a league where you're playing three corners as much as you have to play three corners, you'd like to have four or five that you feel really good about. Right now, you have four that you feel good about when Aaron Colvin is back from his suspension. I don't know that when Amukamara is gone, I think next year you're going to be looking at having to at least look at the position again. And maybe not with a high draft pick or anything like that, but look at it again. But I agree with you. If you're going to tell me the position that I am most concerned about going into the year, left tackle.
Yeah.
It's left tackle, and it's because we haven't seen the consistency you want to see from Luke Jokel, and you don't know what the knee is going to be for Kelvin Beachum. You don't know at this point. So if I have to answer it today, it's left tackle.
More likely to make the team this year, Dwayne Grotz, Nick Marshall.
Marshall.
Me too. I'm with you. Because of the upside, right? The optimism of the unknown, our friend Bob Harris likes to use that phrase a lot. But you're going to have House, you're going to have Ramsey, you're going to have a Mukumara on the team, you're going to have Colvin on the team, although not for the first month of the season. I think you're going to have Marshall on the football team, and then it becomes a question of numbers. But you're going to have another, at least one, probably maybe two more for the first four games of the season. So maybe Grotz and another get to stick around. Who that is, Peyton Thompson, Demetrius McCray, who knows at this point in time. But there may be a four-week competition for that roster spot because Colvin's coming back and he's going to be on the 53 in short order when he returns off that suspension. A couple more, absolutely without question, left tackle. Why isn't head coach, defense coordinator, offense coordinator listed in the question? Well, because we stuck to the actual players for this question. Edge rusher listed as a concern just for the lack of experience, and it's really an unknown, hoping for a foul or breakout. And several with center because we didn't re-sign Wisniewski and not too much experience on the team. Again, now right now, I suppose there's a scenario where somebody – the best, they're going to play the best combination of guys internally. Can's going to play one of the guard spots. It's either going to be Linder at guard and maybe a guy like Bowanko at center, or Linder at center and maybe a guy like Bernadeau at guard, and I think the latter is more likely at this point in time. But I don't think they're concerned about center. That doesn't mean that Linder, playing it for the first time at the pro level is going to be an all-pro right out of the gates either.
No, and I think Linder is their best interior offensive lineman, and the center position is more important than either guard spot. And I think that's part of the thought process inside the building, is that it's the most important position of those three that Linder can play. And if he is capable of playing it, then I think it would be a major upgrade for them at that position. It keeps Can on the field and gives them, I think, their best option outside of that. Now, if they decide that Linder isn't comfortable there, or that they're more comfortable with somebody else playing the center position, they have Bowanko on the roster. He was okay a couple of years ago. Wasn't great, wasn't terrible. He was just okay a couple of years ago, and then you still have both those guys on the field playing guard. I'm not all that concerned about it. I'm curious about how it's going to look when everything is said and done, because I think they want Linder to be the center for this football team going forward.
And if Beachum plays like the Kelvin Beachum pre-injury, then I won't be that concerned about left tackle, right? I mean, that's
sure.
The thing. But until he shows he's going to be able to return to that form and return to it quickly, then it's something to watch, certainly, for this football team. Hey, it's not perfect, but it's getting better, isn't it, Jaguar fans? Jaguars today wrapping up. Thanks today to Joe Fortunato. Thanks to Tyler Devitt and Jordan DeArmond. for helping out behind the scenes today. We appreciate the special teams trio of Jason Myers, Brad Nortman, and Carson Tinker stopping by on the program as well, and John Osier from Jaguars.com. Tomorrow, Ryan O'Halloran will be here to brighten everyone's day, because that's how he rolls. And Donovan Darius on Thursday, David Garrard on Friday. Maybe they'll have a flex off as they pass each other in the hallway on their way in, because those guys have not exactly sat on the couch in their post-playing careers. All right, that's going to do it for us today. For Fat Tony, I'm Mike Dempsey. The Midday Chalk coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.